My name is Jack Foraker. I attended the normal school in the year 1923-24. And I came down from Cumberland, the mining town of Cumberland. My father used to be a way boss there. And we came down here, one reason for me to attend, and then he had changed his job anyway. And there were nearly, six classes of us, five or six classes, because the magazine they called the 5-to-1, there were five girls to each of the boys, and the classes, they were numbered A, B, C, D, E, and F, and they had, 40 or so in each class. And then, of course, that was the day, they were the days when Mr. McLaren was principal. And V.L. Denton, he was vice principal. And there was Miss Gordon Riddell, Miss Isbister, she used to be the home ec. And some of the boys took home ec in those days, if they wanted. Frost, he was a phys ed man, and Baines was the chief phys ed man. Chipper was another man, I can't remember now. But we were very happy, very happy. And they all tried to help us, you know. And if we had our problems, well, we went to them, and particularly over the lessons. And they were always in the classroom. When we got to the stage that we were practice teaching, there was one of them there writing. And then they would call us in for an interview, and if we had done well, they'd have told us how we had done, and if we hadn't done so well and we should have changed it, well, we were corrected and helped for next time. The sports we had, tennis, basketball, and of course the boys had rugby. In those days, and some of the boys played on our team, played on the famous domino basketball team, who used to be British Canadian champions at one time, Breckenridge and Fubister and Forbes. Forbes just lives up here, and we all had. There was a lunchroom where we, you know, big lunchroom where we had our lunch. And although on fine days they all ate out in the lawn, on the lawns. And when you go into the building now from the front entrance on the left-hand side, where they had garden plots, certain groups would have garden plots, not individuals. And then on the other side, where the two tennis courts were, on the right-hand side going up. And every year they had an annual tennis tournament. Then we also had two debating teams. And once a year, we had an annual debate with the Vancouver Normal School. And one of our teams went to Vancouver and debated. And Vancouver sent a team over here to debate. And we just flipped a coin to see who was the team, which team went to Vancouver. We lost, so we were here. And the Judge Clarihue, who was still in town, he was one of the judges that came up here and adjudicated the debate. I don't think I can remember where the lunchroom was. The classroom brought on this. Oh, I think the lunchroom was downstairs. I have to think that one up a minute. There was another chap, I was trying to think of his name. Oh, Mr. Henry Dunnell.
What did he instruct?
Now, wait a minute.
Well, they had the model schools there when you were there. Did they? Model schools for the children?
They had a model school there. Now, wait a minute. Now, that may be. I'm not sure whether she wasn't tied up with the model school.
Miss Cannon.
Yeah, they had a model school there.
Did you get to teach in the model school? Or did you just observe?
We observed, we never taught. Mm-hmm. We used to, after we had been there for a certain period of time, and sort of got our feet on the ground in instruction. Then we went into different schools, out into the city.
Did you go into the schools soon?
We taught into the city, right into the room.
Yeah, but was it soon after you got to the normal school, or did you wait until
after
Christmas?
Oh, no, I don't suppose we went. See, we started in September. When we got there in September, I imagine it was after Christmas before we went out into the classrooms. We would go into the normal school and have the observing there. But before we actually got into practice teaching, I'm almost sure it was after Christmas. And then they had a program whereby the elementary schools of the city had arranged for us to go in at three times of the year.
How long did you to go into the classroom?
You mean each period or over? Oh, I imagine we were in there maybe. Well, in the class would be one lesson, like. Then we may go into another class with another lesson. So we went out, in the school probably a half a day. Then, of course, we had the assignment. We were given assignments as to what we were going to teach.
And you had to prepare the lesson.
We had to prepare the lesson before we went to the classroom. And then there was introduction and so on, summary and all that sort of thing, you see. And then we were supposed to follow that plan as near as possible. And the teachers themselves were just there. They didn't criticize us at all. The normal school instructor did that. Instructors. And then I'm not sure now how many times a week we went out. Possibly twice a week or something like that, anyway. At least once a week. But, you know, it's hard to remember back all that, like the time. In the first time thing in the morning, we used to have an assembly in the auditorium. And we had opening prayer. And then they gave us the general instructions or particular instructions that were going to happen that day. And that was a daily occurrence that every morning we went in. And then, of course, if there are any other special functions or special programs coming up, that's where we had it. And that's where we held our debate in the auditorium. See, it was quite a large auditorium. It would hold the whole student body at one time. Is the thing still, is this one, same one there, the same auditorium?
Yes, they use it for the library now.
Oh, that's where the library is. Oh, yeah.
There's one other thing I was going to ask you. In the library, there are busts up on the wall of different poets and authors. And at the back, there is a mural. It's a Greek horseman scene.
It probably was there then because...
I was wondering if you knew anything about it.
Oh, no. No, I don't know anything about it. I don't know the significance of it at all. As a matter of fact, I forgot it was there. And when I got next time to the library, I'll look.
Yes.
I'm sure that some of them that were more academic than I, Claude Campbell or some of those might know. Of course, I don't know where you get a hold of him now. Claude left us at half year, and another chap left us half term to go back to university and finish off over there. At that time, Claude Campbell's father was one of the inspectors in school here. He's still around, but he's retired now. Still, I've lost track of Frost and Baines and all. I don't know how many of these people are still. I know Mr. Denton died quite a few years ago. The old clock is still there. I noticed him.
Yes. When you were in the normal school, the boys and the girls were segregated, weren't they?
Right.
You had your own entrances?
Yes. Now, wait a minute. I'm not so sure about the same entrances, because there was only one of our class of ours. But we did have segregated classes. The girls had their own classes, and there was just one class of boys, you see, and then the five class of the girls. Now, I don't think we had...
You weren't taught with the girls then, were you?
No.
You were all on your own.
The only time we were together were at assemblies and things like that. Now, I'm not so sure that I don't think we... mind you, they may have later, but this was 23, 24, quite a long way back. No, I can always remember using the front. There were entrances either side.
You got to use the front entrance, did you?
Oh yes, we used the front entrance. And then if we were working out the back or something like that, we used to use the come in the back door too.
Out back, it wasn't built up at all.
No, it was very similar to what it was now, except there were no buildings in there. No buildings.
Were the greenhouses back there?
No greenhouses.
No.
I think the layout from the physical side outside, the stairs and all the way we came in, they were all the same. The one at the other end, this end was there, and one at the other end, and the front door, and then there was one in from the back that we used to come in. If we were out in the yard for lunch, if we were on the back of the Belmont, we came in the back. If not, we did in the front, just depending on what was there.
Well, the gardens were always so beautiful.
The gardens were lovely.
Yeah, and I was just wondering where the gardeners worked from, like if they had a greenhouse or a shed or anything.
Now, probably they did, because if they had all those flowers, they must have had a place to put them in. I don't remember the gardener's name at all with it. But they used to keep us pretty busy, you know. And then, of course, after school, certain days, we had to go down and line up our lessons, get instructions as to what we're going to teach or where we're going to teach and so forth, you see. And then another day was taken up, two or three days were taken up with preparation, and then another day of teaching, and then you came back for another day and you had your criticism. So the time went very quickly. The whole setup was happening, and any of the criticism that we received was very constructive. And nobody ever felt that they had failed or that they didn't want to go on because of what was said or anything like that. And Mr. McLaren, of course, was outstanding, and his manner. He was kind and considerate and gave us a lot of help, you know. I remember one thing he told us was, he said, first thing you do when you go out into the classroom is establish yourself. After that, once you establish yourself, if you do that to start off with, things will be much easier. That's one thing I always remember telling us, establish yourself before you do anything else. And then, he was quite humorous too, you know, yes, you wouldn't think so, but little anecdotes in and that sort of thing. He was always a quiet man, but very pleasant in his manner.
Can you tell me about the plunge baths downstairs in the gym, by the gym?
And they were like little swimming pools.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sure. They weren't really a swimming pool, but as you say, they could be called a plunge bath. And mostly every day after school, sometimes we, the boys went in, and then other times the girls went in. There wasn't room for too many at one time because they were small. Are they there now? No. And we had lockers. Well, our own lockers mainly, and then we took our towels down, and there was a dressing room, a small dressing room down there that you could dress and get into the pool. It was very relaxing, and particularly after soccer, and mainly after sports that we used them, you know. And as I say, it was a little crowded at times, but nevertheless it was very nice, very pleasant. And the basketball team, the girls' basketball teams, and the rugby team, and the tennis players and all that, they used them mostly, although they were open to the general student body. Now, what else?
I was going to ask you, the age of the students when you were there, were they quite young?
Let me see, what was I? Well, I was older than some of them. I was 21.
Mm-hmm.
They would range from 18, 19, 20, 21, in around that age.
Was there a minimum age?
I couldn't tell you. Well, you had to have high school. You get through your high school. Now, some of us had our senior matriculation. I took my senior matriculation in Little High School in Cumberland. There were seven of us in the class. And C.B. Wood was the principal, who was registrar of University of British Columbia for many years. He passed away at the age of 85, just in March. And he was the principal of the Cumberland High School. Nine of us. Now, let me see.
When you had finished your teaching, was there a teachers' federation at that time?
Wait a minute now.
I was wondering if you automatically entered the federation or if it was like a voluntary thing later on.
Well, it's all voluntary. But I saw something in here a moment ago. It was a federation. No, I saw an ad here just a minute ago. It struck me. Yeah, British Federation. Hearty congratulations to all students. Thank you. Yeah. Officers, I sustain the graduates. 1917. So that was it.
Did you join the Federation right away, or did you wait?
I'm assuming I joined right away. Yes. That's worth the end of time. He's gone, of course, now.
Were you able to get a teaching position as soon as you graduated, or were jobs hard to come by then?
I wrote 25 applications, and the first one I received an appointment, an acceptance, was a little place called Flagstone in the southeast corner of the province, down near the American border. A railway track ran through the middle of the town, and half the population on one side and half on the other. And I had just received that when I received an appointment to Harewood, just on the outskirts of Nanaimo. And I figured that I'd much rather have that one. So I wrote and asked them if they would release me. And they said, yes, if you can get somebody to take your place, we'll release you. So I got a friend of mine from our year, who at that time had not received an appointment, and he took it. He started off in those days, very high, at $13.40 a year. And I got $9.60 in Harewood. But you were closer in. And then I just taught it on the 5 acres, they called it, Harewood. A few puns running around 4 acres of the 5 acres. And then someone wrote me a card saying that there was an appointment in the city open next year. Would I like it? So I made application and I got into the Nanaimo City. And I was there for 24 years, you know. And I moved out here in Victoria to the old Boys Central on 4th Street in 1944. And then I was there 6 years. And then the new S.J. Willis was built. And I moved up there to banquet.
Yes, you had a graduating banquet or a picnic?
We always had a normal school picnic. We had a normal school picnic. We went to one of the beaches.
Do you remember which one you went to? Was it Willow's Beach? Or were you the class that went out towards Elk Lake?
No, it wasn't out that way. It wasn't Elk Lake way. It was either Willow's or one of the beaches farther around here. But it could have been Willow's because a lot of them in those days had their picnics here. It was always was a very nice beach. And it wasn't too distant or too difficult to go to. And then it was sort of a picnic deal. Everybody took sandwiches and that sort of thing, cake and so forth. Whether they had it catered to, or whether it was a project home ec department, I'm not sure. And then at the end of the year, we had a banquet. Now where, I don't know. And all the farewell speeches and all this, and the awards were given and so forth.
You held that in the auditorium,
did you? They had that in the auditorium, the awards, yes. And they also, I mentioned that, had the debate in the auditorium. And the awards were there, and then the valedictory was given in the auditorium. It's in here. And any of the graduating students who had done particularly well or received any special award.
Do you remember any awards that were available? And nowadays they have trophies and medals. And
well, there would be, if they had won, we played basketball and against some of the other schools, and we played rugby against the boys' school over here. But there were no trophies for that. But if there were any championships that they won, they would receive awards for. But we didn't go in too much for that type of competition. It was more of an invitation game. She went here and he went there, and we weren't in any league or anything like that.
Which teams did you belong to?
Which one?
Which sports teams?
Well, I was mainly track and field. I also played a bit of rugby. I was on the basketball team, but I wasn't one of the stars on the basketball team. But track work was my first love, and I didn't like to do too much football. In case you got hurt, we tackled you.
Where was the track at that time? Where did you practice?
Well, when I was going to they had a track. It wasn't as good as this. They had a track at the athletic park in those days too. Oh, yeah. And we used to go down there, we used to train there too. And Archie McKinnon used to take his team up there. We used to go from the Y up there and run. And every year, this is not quite to do with normal school, but it's the same, they used to have a competition between the YMCA and the University of British Columbia, a road race, on New Year's Day. And they shut the traffic off. And once upon a time, it was a 4 mile race, I guess it was. And they used to start a way out, but nobody could see it. So what they did after this, they used to close the traffic off on Yates and Blanchard and around that area. And we'd start at the Capitol Theater. And each runner, it was just two runners, like one from UBC and one from RY. It was a road race, really. And each one would do two laps around the block, and then the next one would pick it up. And then that was something they looked forward to every year, was from there. And there used to be a chap, Bert Bailey. He was a very brilliant student. He was at UBC, and he used to run anchor on that team. And I used to run anchor on the YMCA team. So we used to have some battles sometimes.
When you were a student at the normal school, how did people get up there? Was there the trolley at that time?
There was a streetcar running up there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Used to come up Richmond Road. And a lot of them, some came by bicycles. And you see, you boarded wherever you could, and you boarded as close as you could. And then a lot of them walked. But I would say the majority of them came by streetcar. Some had cars. Well, yeah, the old streetcar used to come right up Richmond, past the normal school, up to
Mount Tommy.
Up Mount Tommy, not right up, but to the foot of Mount Tommy, then go back the same way. Yeah. Then they used to have another one that went down Lansdowne and had a turnaround up there, and then. That's all gone. I'll pick it up. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I think the majority of them walked. Mm-hmm. And bad weather, they probably took the streetcar. So you finished at different hours.
How long was the day?
Well, we started around 9. And then depending on what we had to do, if we were just there preparing lessons and that sort of thing, I imagine somewhere at the same time as school now, between 3 and 4 o'clock. And I can't remember whether the building was open at night or not, though. I can't remember. I know I never went back at night.
Were there any activities after the class?
Well, there was our, we had, like our badminton was after school. Well, they had badminton too. Our football was after school. and the tennis was after school, and the basketball, I guess they used to play basketball amongst themselves. They had a league within the school in the gym. It was a small gym. And then, of course, at night sometimes, they go out and play invitation basketball games against other schools, other organizations. There was quite a lot of activity after school that they stayed and played badminton, and they played basketball, and they usually a lot of time just talking, you know. And then, of course, they didn't walk out at 3 o'clock. You had some preparation to do, and you did some of your preparation there because, well, I guess a lot of it, because the library was there.
Where was the library? Do you remember? Was it downstairs or was it upstairs?
It must have been downstairs because the hall along both sides, except for the auditorium, were classrooms.
In the original blueprint plan, the library was upstairs next to the balcony for the auditorium.
I think it was upstairs. I'm pretty sure it was upstairs. Because, you see, you had the furnace room and you had the swimming, what do you call them?
Plunge bath.
Yeah, but plunge bath.
And the lunch room.
And the lunch room, all downstairs. I'm sure the library was upstairs. No, so you see, I said the classes were 40, but there were more. Now, you see, there were B, A, B, A.
When you finished at the end of the year, you were given... Were you given an assignment to go out and teach for maybe a month or 3 weeks and then come back to the school before you were finally officially graduated? Later on, in the 30s, I know this had happened.
Well, yes, we... After Christmas, at first, we used to go out for the day or something like that. And then we had to teach for a period of time. Now, offhand, I can't remember how long it was. But that was a much longer period. And whether we had, I'm assuming that we had different subjects too. And it was all set up, arranged with the normal school and the city schools, that at certain times of the year, the prospective teachers or the normal school graduates, or normal school students, would be in the schools, you see. And the duration of the period, whether it was a month or whether it was 6 weeks, I imagine it would at least be a month. And that was it. And then we had our final briefings, and then we were told whether we were successful or whether we weren't. I don't remember. I don't think there were many that weren't successful.
Most everybody...
But I think a few found out at Christmas time that they weren't cut out for teaching. And they just took off, you see. And a couple of them left at Christmas to go to further education, like at the University of British Columbia. Get our feet on the ground, like June, July, and August, before we went out to try and get jobs. And nowadays it's different, mind you, a little different now, but up until 3 years ago, there weren't enough jobs to go around. There were more teachers than there were jobs, you know. Some of them didn't get jobs. And I know, and a lot of them I spoke to wrote 10, 15, 20 applications, you know. Mm-hmm. But... I think now the situation is coming back that way now. The number of jobs are getting less because of the school populations are being cut down. I mean,